T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Kevin Deers here on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Wanted to thank you so much for checking out the podcast, and hopefully Metal Shop will be back in studio to share new music with you, and I will let you know, you'll be the first to know when Metal Shop is back for good in studio and whatnot for live episodes. But in the meantime, thanks for staying with me and listening to all these interviews and supporting the show in any form that it can be, you know, whether it be podcasts or live or whatever. Anyways, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and if you celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you had a good time. I hope you had a great Black Friday and got plenty of gifts. Spent time with family and whatnot. As we go into the holiday season, I got a bunch of interviews to share with you, including Ophidian Eye, Ghost Bath, Full of Hell, Bron Daler from Mastodon, got Borknagar, Aeon, bunch more. Today, I'm actually going to be featuring an interview that I did back in July, and I forgot I didn't even put it on the podcast. I filmed this. I put it up on my YouTube channel, which is called Everflowing Stream. Check it out if you can. And realized I did never even put it up on the podcast feed for audio. So I wanted you to check it out. So just keep in mind, if you're listening and you're like, what the hell are they talking about? They're like, all the way back in July. This was right as shows were about to open up and things were starting to get a little wacky. So this is a band called Dead Heat. They were about to play their record release show down in Southern California. They're a Nardcore thrash crossover band. They have a brand new record called World at War, and it's not really brand new now, but it is 2021 and one of my favorite albums of the year. But keep in mind when you're listening, this is a few months old. Either way, it's a great chat with a killer band called Dead Heat. Check out World at War if you have not. Without any further ado, here's Dead Heat on Metal Shop Backstage Pass. Right now, I'm talking with a band called Dead Heat. They just put out World at War, and I was just talking with vocalist Chris before this. I'm the first one to get this CD, actual CD, so you guys didn't even get it yet. So. Yep, I can't really focus. So anyways, see
the back, let me the back.
Badass. It's called World at War, brand new full-length record on Triple B Records. It's thrash, it's hardcore, it's punk, it's metal, it's all those things. It's crossover, it's Nardcore, I believe, is what you might label it either way. Like I said, Dead Heat's the name of the band. Welcome to the show, guys.
What's up?
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely, guys. So why don't we jump in by what's your name and what do you do in Dead Heat?
You go first, Chris.
All right. Well, I'm Chris. I sing in the band. Pretty much it.
I'm Justin. I play rhythm guitar.
Yogi, drums.
And I'm Vince. I play bass.
Right on. So are you guys all four members? Is there anyone we're missing, or is this the band?
We're missing our guitarist, Anthony.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out to Anthony.
Shout out Anthony.
She.
Yeah. So I want to ask you guys, what's the reaction been like for the album so far? Because it sounds like it's been a pretty awesome reaction from what I've seen, just people chatting about it and a couple reviews.
I mean, yeah, so far so good.
Yeah.
No bad remarks.
Yeah, been all good responses. more reviews from this album than last album. So
it's got to be kind of weird because like shows are just about to open up and shows are just about to start. You guys are about to play your record release show. It's got to be kind of weird to put a record out kind of out into the ether and not get that immediate reaction. Like in the normal times, you'd probably play a record release show like on the day of release or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think we kind of booked our record release not knowing what the future was going to be. So it kind of like fell into place like correctly. So now everything's like pretty much open again. So,
yep.
Yeah, we had high hopes of just putting it right, like putting our record release right out. And we're like, oh, hopefully everything's good by then.
Yep.
Like, hopefully this is all said and done. And then perfect timing.
I mean, it's a perfect soundtrack for like the reopening of the world, too, because it's like thrashy. It's good summer music, man. Like, this is the kind of music that is going to be like really fun to see live. Kids can go in Circle Pit and have a good time. And it's like perfect summer soundtrack. The start of the summer. You guys are in California. Is the state like the state? No more mask mandates, right? The state's like wide open right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like no one gives a
except for like grocery stores and like public transit.
Yeah.
Well, even then,
I saw some people not wearing masks.
Oh, yeah. It's just for like employees type thing.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of people just still wearing their masks. So it's like,
yeah, I wear mine.
Yeah. Well, how many of you guys were at the wild ass like Nomads and Dead City show a few weeks back? That looked insane.
Yeah, I think pretty much all of us besides Vince, because he was working, we all went. So it was pretty nuts.
Tell me a little bit about that. Like, was it exactly like what I see? Like just basically like Mad Max style?
Yeah, it was straight chaos.
Everything you would see on video, it looked like in life. Like you would think it would, when we got there, you just fill with balloons everywhere. People just doing whatever, fireworks.
I think that show kind of set off like everyone doing shows out here for sure, though. Like people weren't scared to do it, so it wasn't like we saw that and we did ours. Like we had ours planned out, but like now all the punk, like more punk people and like hardcore and like metal, they're just in California, just like we're just gonna do it now in public and like post about it and stuff.
Exactly. So tell me a little bit about the record release show. This will probably come out right before it. So when is it and what's the deal with it?
You go, Chris.
July 3rd in Ventura, California at the Tavern. We got Dead Heat, Stalag 13, Regulate, The Fight, Rod of Correction, Risk and Railer. That's the lineup, and it's gonna be a fun day. It's the day before 4th of July, you know it's gonna pop off.
Yeah.
So that'll be the day we put the vaccine to the test.
There you go. So Chris, you've got the Oxnard flag, the Nardcore flag behind you, and you corrected me. I said it looked like some kind of straight edge flag. You said, nah, man, it's the Nardcore flag. So school me a little bit, because I know a few bands. Like I know Verbal Abuse, I think, or no, sorry, maybe not Verbal Abuse. In Control, I know In Control's of Stalag 13, In Control. I know a couple Nardcore bands, but I'm not from Oxnard. Why don't you school me a little bit about what is Nardcore, man?
Well, Nardcore is Oxnard Hardcore.
Yeah,
hence the name.
Yeah,
but it's also just its own genre. Basically, we have a bunch of like bands in Oxnard Ventura scene that's just, they're not exactly all the same kind of type of band. We're not hardcore at all, but we're like, but every band is part of the Nardcore scene, so we all kind of had like that same thing. Like there's a bunch of punk bands, there's a bunch of like metal bands, there's a bunch of random, there's hardcore bands like us that are in it, but it's a scene nonetheless, but that's more connected by our location.
All right, so in my mind, I was thinking it like describes the sound, but in what you're saying is it doesn't really even just encompass one sound. It's just the scene.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Like, there's so many different bands that it's hard to just be like, this is the one sound. But I mean, I guess Nardcore does kind of have a sound. It's more like, it's more of like the early bands though that made the sound, I guess, I feel like. Like Stalag 13, Dr. No, like those kind of bands, like, but
All right, guys. Well, then that's going to lead me to this question. What is your favorite Nardcore band of all time? And you guys can all answer.
Vince.
You can call me out?
Go.
Yeah, go.
For me, it's In Control. It's like, you know, my intro into what is modern hardcore to me. Like all the Nardcore bands from the 80s, you know, they're punk bands. They have like, you know, very surf leaning almost because they're all like beach kids. Like,
yeah.
Beach. But then In Control, you know, another year came out in 2001 and I was in junior high when I heard them. And like, I'd never heard like a breakdown in a song before.
Yeah.
You know, and I just couldn't believe it because I like my idea of punk was, you know, like Ill Repute, which is, you know, like a fast punk band, stuff like that. You know, like,
and
like,
that's what I was thinking about when I said verbal abuse. I was thinking Ill Repute. I was thinking,
I was gonna correct you. I was like, oh, their logos kind of look similar. It might,
yeah.
Ill Repute.
Yeah.
And there was also just like a guy, a black and white drawing guy.
Yep.
Like all the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater stuff. And then like, I'd never heard like an aggressive hardcore song. So I heard Ill Repute or In Control. And so to this day, you know, they're my favorite narco band. And I feel like a lot of people that got into hardcore in Oxnard around my age probably had the same exact answer.
Nice.
Can you attest to that?
I would.
Yeah.
Because that's my number one too as well. I mean, if I wanted to go for like Nardcore originals or like earlier bands, I'd say like Aggression or something because it's like the first, and that's like the one band I knew when I was like 13, 14 for no reason. Like just people like started putting that out.
Are you a Nardcore scholar?
Scholar?
Nard scholar.
A Nardcore scholar.
I don't have my degree. I don't know.
Do you know the timeline? Do you have like a proper timeline behind you? No?
Scholar. Okay. I get too hyped to know that.
Yeah, like 79 to like 83 or 84 is probably like the start of it.
Okay.
Like all like the, like, so there's this neighborhood in Oxnard called Silver Strand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a mid, mid to level to affluent neighborhood. You know, it's like a beach community.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of bands came from there. They're all just kind of like surfers and skaters and playing aggressive punk music, going to like the clubs in LA, you know, seeing like all the classic bands, seeing like Black Flag, and then them taking their own thing home to Oxnard, which is, you know, 60 miles west of LA, you know, so like they wanted their own identity, not be an LA punk band. So they became Oxnard and hardcore bands. And, you know, that like time frame of like early 80s really like shaped what they're doing. Like every like classic hardcore band was kind of like their own version of another American hardcore band. Like,
okay.
There was like Stalag 13, who was doing a very DC sound.
Uh-huh.
Like it was like, hey, like let's do Minor Threat. And it sounded like Minor Threat from Oxnard. You know, and then there was who was like, okay, we like Discharge. Let's make a Discharge type band. And it's so weird, you know, seeing like the parallels between what Nardcore was doing in the 80s and how they have their counterparts in the US. You know, mm-hmm.
It's like your own territory. So there was that studio, Mystic Records studio or Mystic Studio, right? Do you guys ever think about going to record at Mystic?
I don't think it exists anymore.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So I don't know if you're familiar with Zach from Make It Sure. He does a podcast called 185 Miles South.
I've listened to it a couple times. Yeah.
So he interviewed this dude who his name's Philco, and he, I forget his real name, Phil, but he's credited on all those classic records as Philco. He was an engineer.
Okay.
Like, and I don't remember what happened in that podcast. I listened to it once, but he tells like a detailed story about their partnership and what Mystic Studios is now. I mean, it'd be cool to record about it, but I just don't even know if it exists anymore.
Fair enough. Well, after you're done listening to this, go back and listen to that. Shout out to 185 miles
south.
Okay, I was going to say north. Totally botched that one.
Yeah.
So anyway, so let's get a little bit of a backstory about the band. So you guys, this isn't your first record. I believe it's your first on Triple B. Is that right?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about backstory about the band, just to fill in the listeners who might, you know, just be putting Dead Heat on their radar.
So I'm going to take it. So me and Anthony, the other guitarist, he hit me up randomly. Like I already knew Chris from shows,
mm-hmm.
our old bassist Brando from shows and Anthony from shows. And then me and Anthony would always talk online about like music. And then he randomly hit me up and just like, hey, you down, do like a crossover band, like Leeway and Cro-Mag with mm-hmm. Bay Area thrash, like Violence and Exodus. I was like, yeah. So like I rolled up, I drove to 805, and then that was my first time driving up besides like Sound and Fury Fest. So like we met up, we jammed out a song. And then I kind of like didn't go full on with the project. I was like doing another band before this. So Anthony got the lineup and he hit up Chris, the original drummer, and then our bassist Brando. Mm-hmm. And then he hit me up like he hit me up every day, but then like the second month I came to practice and then they had like the whole demo in. And then from there on, I was just us just writing and writing and writing. So.
And when was that?
I think like 2017. Huh?
2017?
Yeah,
okay.
It was me and Anthony's first meetup and we wrote the first song that he, that's on the demo.
Nice. So this record, it's a new release, and I'm assuming you guys probably worked on this during the pandemic. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, so tell me a little bit about the process of like working on a record during this time when the world is kind of up and strange, and like, you know, it's probably an odd process. Did that change your guys's recording at all or not really?
So like when we first wrote the record, it was before like the pandemic started. So like, mm-hmm. Like I think it was our old drummer Vince, because he recently joined the band because our old bassist went to college. And then like everyone else besides me, they wrote like the first two songs, which is Subterfuge and Two Cents. And then after they were finished writing those two songs, the pandemic hit. So we kind of like for 4 months, we didn't see each other. I saw Yogi because like me and him always hang out, and mm-hmm. like joined the band after during the pandemic. And then we kind of like me and him jammed a bit, and then Anthony would jam at home and like write songs. And then finally, when we felt comfortable enough, I think like 4 months into the pandemic, we're all like jamming in the 805 and like wearing masks and just finish the record. So.
And who'd you record the record with?
Taylor Young at the Pit Studios.
Awesome. What's the process like with Taylor Young? Cause he's got quite the resume these days. I mean, I'm assuming you guys are friends with him and everything. So, but, is it like a home studio or is it like what's the whole setup there?
Well, he has a home studio, but this time around, like for Certain Death, we recorded all of it, drums, guitars, vocals, everything at the home studio at the Pit.
Cool. But
this time around, we wanted like a bigger sound. So he rented out another studio. Mm-hmm. And we recorded drums, and like the drums sound insane. Like, Yogi did his thing.
Yeah.
And then try.
Like, the rest was recorded with him though.
At his house.
Nice. So Yogi, you're the most recent member joining Dead Heat. Were you familiar with the band? I'm assuming you were familiar with the band before joining. Is that right?
Oh yeah, because I was in a band before with Human. Well, still in the band, Human Garbage.
Mm-hmm.
We played the first show in Ventura Library.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really pay attention. I didn't, but later on.
Yeah.
Because Jaina wasn't there, so I was like, whatever. I don't know these fools. But later on, as it progressed, we started playing a lot of shows with them. And then I was like, oh, okay, sick. Like, Jaina's in there. I didn't know that. You know, this fool was doing Hands of God and all this other stuff. And Run Amok. And I was like into those bands because they were like weird to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been pretty crazy. Like, yeah, Jaina, me and Will, like he said, we always hung out. He plays in Human Garbage too, and another mm-hmm. band. So he's just like, you know what, like, are you down? And I was like, heck yeah, like, just send me the songs and I'll learn them. And that's exactly what happened. And perfect timing too, you know.
Yeah.
We only finished the two songs, and the rest was, you know, I had my hand in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome because this is my first like LP with me on it.
That's awesome.
That I've done, you know, it's only been like tapes and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's been sick ever since, you know, and I'm just ready for this show, this first show. On July 3rd, it's going to be the first show with them, like live.
Yeah, same here. So it would be me and Yogi's first show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's your second kind of, as a full
thing. Yeah, you feel
it. No, but I was an official member.
You were an official.
okay. So I'm curious about, when I listen to Dead Heat, I hear a lot of different stuff. I hear, you know, thrash. I hear some punk stuff, hardcore. It's all over the, it's, I mean, it's very crossover, like you guys were saying, kind of like that Leeway influence and stuff, but it's a little suicidal-ish. I'm curious, like, what was the light bulb moment? Was there a band that made you fall in love and make you want to pick up an instrument? And we can start with you, Justin.
Well, the first, like, I guess, band that made me want to pick up a guitar was Black Sabbath.
Nice.
But the band that made me want to get better guitar was probably, like, this band, Children of Bodom.
Oh, like, yeah. R.I.P. Like, Alexi.
Yeah, R.I.P. for real. And then them, Children of Bodom, and Metallica.
Yeah.
That's how fast they played. And then Slayer, too, because they played even faster.
Yep.
And then, like, me progressively getting better guitar, like when Anthony hit me up to do crossover, I was just like, I'm already playing faster now, so might as well like try it out and see if I can actually like handle it as a band. So,
yeah,
over here. So,
so you come from the metal world,
pretty much. Like, yeah, pretty much. Like, I got into hardcore because, like, growing up, that's like when you're young, it's like a scene where, like,
yeah,
you feel accepted. But then me as like a musician, like, I liked hardcore, but it didn't really challenge me as like a guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all, like, I kind of like gravitated towards that. So,
well, before we jump to Yogi, what are your top three metal guitarists of all time as far as influence?
Tony Iommi, Phil Demmel, and Jeff Adam.
Nice, dude. Well, did you see Violence is doing that reunion tour?
Yeah, I actually saw them when they played in 2019. They played at the Region in LA. It was
killer.
One Enemy opened, and then XL, and then Violence played. It was like their first show back in LA in years, and then Sacred Rite came on. So,
oh, that's an old school sounding show. That's badass.
Sick.
Right on. Yeah. Yogi, what about you, man? What was a band that made you want to start playing music?
Metallica. Like,
nice. That was
the first band that ever hit my ears.
Yeah.
Little baby, straight out as a baby. I'm not even gonna lie, as a baby.
Yeah.
I remember it. But, and then it progressed through that. Like, through that, I got into punk. Like, I didn't even go into the metal world. Straight went the opposite, which was because they were covering like Anti-Nowhere League,
mm-hmm.
Misfits, Ramones. So I was like, oh, I like that. And then I, you know, one day I just read the back of the CD and it said, oh, cover this band. So I started looking up the band.
Okay.
But then, like, yeah, I started playing drums for a long, like, yeah, because of Metallica. And then I just, the style that I went for was more like RKL, because it was like fast. It was like crazy. It was like what I was able to play, because from, you know, the street punk that I was growing up with, it wasn't that good, you know, to the point where people were telling me like, oh, I don't want you in my band because you're playing too good.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, I guess I like he said, I got to challenge myself. Didn't know what it was,
yeah,
you know, for a long time until straight up Dead Heat. Like, this band challenged me as a drummer, because now it's like what I wanted to play but couldn't play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, now I got to put it into work, to action. So, yeah, Metallica, RKL, and Ramones, Misfits, those bands are the bands that got me to play music.
Well, Yogi, I got to ask you, who's a better drummer, Little Baby Yogi or Lars Ulrich?
Little Baby.
It was me and then him, but, you know.
Okay, okay.
Favorite
cool.
Forever. Favorite drummer.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Everybody says he's whack. I know he's whack. You don't got to tell me. I know he's whack.
Dude.
He's my favorite because he's, come on, who's the richest, who's the drummer right now? I think it's that fool.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to be, you know. He's done so well with, you know, what he's done. And like, I'm not a musician myself, so I can't talk. I was kind of just, you know, just a rib, you know. But anyways, obviously big influence for you. And how about you, man?
You know, you asking this and made me like kind of like think. I never thought about my origin story like that before. And like, I'm like, what do you want to start playing music? When did I start? And I think about it more. I think it was like probably seeing like Blink-182 music videos on MTV, honestly. And then when I started learning how to play guitar and learn how to read tabs, like, I was just looking up Metallica tabs. So I think like, a lot of people who play guitar end up trying to learn how to play Metallica songs. Like,
oh yeah,
I learned how to play one, you know, all the way through from guitar tabs. And I was like the first like hard song I learned how to play. And like ever since then, I just, you know, hit my ceiling at 14, never got any better, but when I learned how to play one, but yeah.
Well, okay. But before we go to Chris, what's, if you guys had to, were forced to cover from start to end, one full Metallica song, solos included, what song would Dead Heat cover?
Crazy question.
Blacken.
Blacken.
Something off Lulu.
No, Fuel.
Fuel, yeah. Something off Load for sure.
Yeah.
No, Reload. That's
a crazy question, because that would be fun.
Probably Blacken, because that's just like a banger. So.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what about you, man?
Let's see. What was it?
What was a band or an artist that made you want to, you know, play in a band?
Misfits.
Yeah.
When I was young, I remember always, like, I never even knew, like, I was singing Misfits lyrics, but that's because my sisters and my brother were always, like, had it on and stuff. And I was I was always reciting, like, lyrics, the wrong lyrics, may I add you. But, like, I was just, like, I basically, Danzig and Misfits were my first intro into, oh, I want to do that. That's cool. Like, I wanted to play a guitar because I saw, John Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like the image of, like, I wanted to play a guitar with long hair, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
You look like Danzig right now.
Okay, well, who would win in a fight? Michael Graves or Glenn Danzig or Zoli?
Well, Michael Graves would lose.
No, Michael Graves, he's like QAnon.
No, he's on.
He's like roided out in QAnon.
Yeah, never mind. He's like a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
I'd have to give it to him right now.
Michael Graves?
Probably.
I mean,
Danzig's done. Danzig can't fight.
We saw what happened with him with Northside Kings. So.
Yeah. That was even a while ago, too. Imagine now, he's like diminished like at least twice.
Yeah.
He's immortal, though.
He's immortal, but he still doesn't mean it's like, nah, he can still get hurt.
me and Chris played in a band together a long time ago, mm-hmm. and we covered a Misfits song. We did Where Eagles Dare, and like, if you're familiar with Misfits songs, it's like basically the same chords throughout the whole song. Mm-hmm. You don't know where you're at unless you know the lyrics, mm-hmm. or else you kind of just get lost. And it was a mess. It was the
worst cover we've ever done.
Yeah, we were just looking at each other's name.
It wasn't our fault. It was our other guitarist. He didn't even know the song. He came in and he's like, all right, I think we could do this. And we just started playing, and it was just totally off.
It was so bad. And we just, like, we got to, like, the second chorus, and we were like, where the f-? We just, like, just stopped.
Gave up. Butchered one of the easiest songs we could ever play.
Yeah. What band was that?
It's called Crucial.
Crucial. All right.
Hardcore as well. Hardcore.
Very Crucial.
I played bass in that, and I played guitar.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the artwork. This is badass. We got a dude with a machine gun with the Dead Heat. I'm gonna assume he's kind of like the it's kind of like your guy. He's like the Eddie for Dead Heat. He's your mascot. And you got some dudes with swords through their heads. You got a guy getting his head exploderated. You got some chain link or no, some barbed wire fence. You got a robot exploding. You got another robot exploding. So this is pretty awesome. It looks kind of like Terminator-esque. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the artist? Who'd you guys go to for this?
You go, Chris.
His name's Hayden Hall, also known as Six Slice on Instagram.
Okay.
He does a bunch of movie posters and like older, like redone, like horror movies, I guess.
Okay.
And he does a great collection of different things.
He killed it.
Yeah, he killed it with this one. We just saw his, like, the way he does his art, and we're just like, that's perfect. Like Megadeth looking esque.
Yep, kind of Megadeth. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, absolutely. So did you guys give him like a rough kind of idea of what you wanted, or did you just like tell him every single detail, or did you know, how do you even, you know, describe something as crazy as this?
Well, like Anthony, when we were trying to find artists, Anthony found Six Slice because he already followed him for Hayden, and he sent it to us, and we hit him up, But we had like an idea for like the art because we wanted the album to be a gatefold because none of us had a gatefold album.
Yeah.
Cool. So we wanted the art to be like cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first idea. And the second one was like, the album's called World at War. So we wanted like a battlefield. So there's that Anthony, me and Anthony like that band, or all of us do like that band, Blast Rocket. And like one of the records has like this G.I. Joe guy with a big ass machine gun.
Nice.
And like Voivod too, like the first three albums are like warish.
Yep.
So we sent all that to him. We're like, yo, can you do something like this? And just put our mascot in the middle of it and just make it like a big battlefield. And he's like, I got you. And then in like 2 months, we just finished it. And yeah. Nailed it. So
like the first draft we got back, we're like, yeah, just do that. That's
yeah.
It.
That's dope. Right on. Okay, so you can pick this album up. Is it sold out? I'm assuming it's probably almost near.
Purple on Triple B is almost sold out. All the other variants are. I think there's still some on Revelation, and there's still some on Edgewood Records.
Cool. Well, if you're in the California area, California's huge. If you're in the Oxnard area, you can go to the record release show, or you can order it online. It seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like there is a crazy amount of energy going on in California hardcore right now, whether it's in the Bay Area with bands like Tsunami and Gulch and Drain, or it's in the Southern California band with like Zabalba, and Section Hate and Dead Heat and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Am I right in just saying like, it just seems like California hardcore is just coming out of the pandemic with a lot of energy going on right now.
We popping.
Yeah, very popular. I mean, it went out into the pandemic with energy at that Drain record release show. Like that was one of the coolest shows I've ever been to. And then like a week after that, it was like, yeah, California's we're shutting down.
Yep.
And that was like a crazy cliffhanger show to like end on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the coolest shows I've been to in like the last, you know, 5-6 years.
Yeah. Straight up.
Oh, and God's Hate. Killer album they put out during the pandemic. There's been a lot of really awesome California hardcore bands releasing albums during this pandemic. I feel like it's not fair. They all deserve to have record release shows. Like we need to have a Zabalba record release show because they put a record out in the middle of the pandemic. We need to have a Gulch record release show, like re-release, you know? It's like, it's not fair.
Well, actually, this weekend or this Saturday, all those Bay bands are doing like a big giant record release show.
Oh, well, never mind.
And then Zabalba the next day is doing theirs. So it's like everyone's doing catch up right now. So
yep. Yep.
We kind of dropped ours at the right time.
Exactly.
Like in a month or in a couple weeks, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs. And then who knows? And like all these other bands are dropping records and just everything's coming back to normal again, basically. So,
and there's going to have so much energy, man. There's just going to have this like, because I grew up going to shows all the time, and I can't lie, like I probably got kind of jaded toward the end there, you know, just kind of taking it for granted. And a year and a few months of not having it really makes you realize how much you love the thing. And then coming back to it, there's just going to have so much vital energy. It's going to be a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be crazy for sure.
Yeah.
So, everybody has such pent up energy that it's just like,
oh yeah,
it's going to be like, popping one out of another.
And like we were saying, test the vaccines. So I'm not gonna keep you guys all night, but I do have one final question that we ask every band here that I talk to. If you can, Chris, let's start with you. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it, or show it to us if you can, and we'll go through all the members.
Hold on.
Okay,
come back to me real quick.
All right. Justin?
Well, I have a scar on my head. Obviously, you can't see it. But I was like 5, and I lived in a condo.
Mm-hmm.
I was sliding down the stairs on like a little lid. I was going super fast. I hit my head on the railing. I was like, ah, it hurts. And my mom was like, what the fuck? I started crying because I was like, a big ass gash in my head. So.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, now you got the Hesher hair to cover it. So. I wouldn't be so lucky, man. I would have a gnarly.
Lucky
good. I don't have no scars over there. So, Yogi, what about you, man?
I have a mini Harry Potter scar.
Really?
Literally, like, I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yep. Someone right there. It's like literally a little thunderbolt. But I was running. I was a little kid, too.
Microchip.
And I had just ran over a turtle.
What? On a bike?
I ran over a turtle with a bicycle I was on. And then I got sad. And then I ran away. I was running. I just ran. And then I ran into a boat that was parked in the driveway. So it's like, and then left a little scar there. it was a bad time in my life as a kid.
You ran over a turtle on a bike, and then you ran into a boat.
That needs a trigger warning.
It was like this big, like it was tiny. But they left. They let it, like, because I had a bunch of friends that they had a turtle and they let it play. I ran.
Oh my god! You earned that scar.
All right, for me, there's a scar kind of by my eye that you can't really see. It's like, I'm not gonna show you, but it's me and my brother when we were kids. Mm-hmm. We had like cap guns from like the Ice Cream Man. You know,
okay. One of
the six things that you would do.
Yeah.
We were fighting for whatever reason. My brother just slapped me real hard with a gun, like pistol with me. And like opened up like this wound on the side of my eye. And there's a scar there now. That's like mostly not there anymore. It's like kind of an indent, but that's my most interesting scar. Nothing like a running into a boat after running over a turtle or anything like that.
But you got pistol whipped with a cap gun, dude.
Yeah. Like, you know, like little kids fine. My little brother is 2 years younger than me. I was maybe seven. He was five. And we're just, you know, like, oh, I don't know. Doing little like brother things, and he just like hit me with it, and then like I bust my face open.
Damn, brutal.
That's the only time I've been pissed with in my life. Luckily,
for now.
Yeah, for now.
Chris, what about you, man?
I just remembered I have a scar on my chin. It's like
okay,
from here to here, but I got it when I was like eight, and I was on a seesaw. Teeter totter, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was with my sister's ex boyfriend. He was like a big guy. He was like 23 at the time. Like,
sure.
Looked like a stocky football player. So he gets like, I'm sitting on the thing, and he gets on the thing and sits down. I fly up off the thing, come back down, hit my chin on the seat,
yeah.
And then like, I just like get up. Nobody notices that I'm bleeding until we get in the car, and then I have blood all over my shirt.
Damn.
And then I get home. My mom starts screaming at my sister. About that whole thing, and like I remember going to the hospital, they had to do like three stitches or something.
That was an uneven teeter totter, dude.
Definitely. I reopened it up though, trying to stage dive one time during ceremony.
Oh my god.
And I just hit the edge of the stage and flew forward and bleeding everywhere.
All right, that's the mission for the Dead Heat release show. Let's see if we can open it up again, right? No, maybe not. I can't bring that on you, man. I can't bring that curse on you.
Yeah, I'm gonna get pistol whipped at the show. Right?
Hope we don't run over any turtles at the show, dude.
You know what it was? I just saw it and then I was like, it cracked. It's just like an egg. I was like, oh crap.
You're murdered.
No turtles were hurt in the making of this video.
Hey, the vegans, we're sorry.
So again, Dead Heat's the name of the band. You can pick up World at War. I already did. It's badass. Played in my car. One of my favorite records of 2021 so far. That's weird to say 2021 already six months into the year, halfway in. So any final words for the, you know, Northwest Seattle audience or anyone who's watching this anywhere in the world?
Try and come up soon, I guess.
Other than that, stay high, you know, I don't know.
Don't hurt turtles.
Don't hurt turtles.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.